Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
On today's show, we'll recommend an EV for a growing family whose top priority is safety, a viewer in need of more range than their Hyundai Ioniq 5, and a couple who love their Ford Mustang Mach-E but want even more creature comforts. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 42. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. Hey, Martin.
Hey.
You're distracting me on that
intro. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Morning, right. Reynard. Good morning from Philly. Lovely to have your company on the live stream this morning. Mark says, hola. Nice to see you. And whatever time of day it is, because it's the afternoon for me. I've not had lunch, but otherwise it's been a beautiful September day in the UK. But morning in America and, you know, wherever you're listening. Hello to Mike in Oxfordshire on the live
stream. You're listening to this. Oxfordshire?
I would just say in the Shires. No. All right, this has gone off to a funky start. Sorry.
If you're looking for your own battery bargain or your own bespoke recommendation, send us a one-minute video or an email describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off, I guess, with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So you ready to go car shopping?
Let's go.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Sean, and he writes, "Hello, team. We are a family of three with an 11-year-old, but about to be four. So safety is our top priority. We have a $50,000 to $55,000 budget and are open to new and used. We have a 2-car garage and Tesla superchargers half a mile from our home. A couple of questions. Hyundai Ioniq 5 or bust? I keep coming back to this, but there are no other options. But are there no other options I should be considering? No desire for a third row. Used versus new. Understanding that the used market is more favorable now than it has been in a long time. Lease versus buy. Odds are this EV will be used mostly for city driving and shorter trips. My wife and I both work from home, and road trips can be reserved for a second vehicle. Interesting caveat. We are considering selling my wife's EV as well. This second vehicle purchase would remain ICE, although she does like the Santa Fe Hybrid from Hyundai. Is there any advantage to going to a dealership like Hyundai and saying, we'd like an Ioniq 5 and a Santa Fe. We'll trade in our 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Give us your best 2-for-1 deal. I love your content and appreciate any feedback you can share. Thank you, Sean in Minneapolis." Well, Sean, well, congrats on the family, growing family. That's awesome news. And let's see. So, it looks like you're really looking at the Hyundai Ioniq 5. So, you know, that's a pretty good choice. I think in the heart wants what the heart wants. So, but if you go for the Hyundai Ioniq 5, and then I don't think I'm going to deter you. I would say, though, consider going for the 2025 model year. So besides new features like a rear wiper, which is great, and actually like a safety option, I think a lot of people will say, in the press release that was, you know, kind of leading up to the 2025 model year, they say that it will feature, so the body, front and rear doors and B pillar parts have been reinforced to improve side collision protection. The vehicle also features 8 airbags, featuring second row side airbags for enhanced safety. So if your safety is the deal, then definitely the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is the way to go. So I did a little looking online, and we could find we'll put up their safety page from the what is it called, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, the IIHS, and they do a lot of crash testing and safety reviews of products. So you can see here on the screen, the 2024 Hyundai Ioniq 5 is, is good here. Headlights acceptable, front crash prevention, pedestrians acceptable. The latch, I believe that's for child seats. Ease of use is acceptable. So it's good in a lot of places and acceptable. These are your ratings right here. Good, acceptable, marginal, and poor. So it gets a good and overall driver side evaluation, but structure and safety cage is only acceptable on the front overlap. And has some, you can go through this actually site yourself and check out the video of it crashing. And let's see, we go to the passenger side and we have an acceptable in the structure and safety cage here instead of a good. So these are all, and then we get back. This is all good. Moderate overlap front updated test. It did very well. And then here's the side updated test. And still the torso is getting just acceptable rating rather than good, and the pelvis for the rear passenger. So I believe these like new improvements to the car will go a long ways to improving the safety of that car. So that would still be my choice. If you like that vehicle, I wouldn't hold you back. And so lease versus buy, new versus used. So there's not any used 2025 Hyundai Ioniq 5s out there yet. So that's, if you're going to go anytime soon, you're going to probably have to buy a new one. But if you wait, just a few months afterwards, there will be some used ones on the market and they'll have some of the depreciation taken off. I'm not sure if we're going to see the levels of depreciation in EVs that we've seen the past few years, if that's going to be like a continuing trend. It's kind of hard to say because I feel like the a lot of the technical improvements, we're kind of up to a point right now. And there could be some bigger leapfrogging kind of technologies over the next few years. But I think for now, you're kind of good. And also, a lot of the depreciation over the past few years have been because during the pandemic, prices got jacked way up. The car market went out of control. New cars were expensive. Used cars were expensive. The prices were kind of crazy. Then everything crashed. So, that shows up as depreciation. And so now there's some great deals on older cars, but for new ones coming up, I don't know that we're going to see that same level of depreciation. So I just wanted to add a couple extra options for you. I would say Tesla Model Y is something else you should consider. If you're looking at safety, it's got top safety rating. The only thing against it at all, I think, is the difficulty getting to the seat anchors in the back seat to latch your car seat in. That's pretty much the only thing. I could bring up a page, but it's just all G's down the line, all good. And then, so that's something to consider. And there's also, I went to the Ford Mustang Mach-E just to find another crossover, but it also has a couple like acceptable ratings down there rather than good. So I think really your top choices are going to be like a Tesla Model Y or the Ioniq 5. Am I missing anything, Martin?
I mean, the Ioniq 6 has got some good lease deals on, and it's really interesting that whoever baked in the federal tax credit on leasing as well was a genius, because leasing in the US has just actually taken off with electric vehicles. And again, it's worth remembering that for cars that don't get the federal tax credit, leasing companies can claim that through the commercial clean vehicle credit, which is a bit different to that. But otherwise, it's still $7,500. Having a look at some of the best lease deals out there, because we are in a state of flux in the US right now in terms of connectors and things like that. Hyundai Ioniq 6, Cars Direct have a $300 a month price on that, and the Ioniq 5, they have a $209 a month on that. When you go into that, that is for the 2024 model year, which is absolutely fine, by the way. I'm not put off by the 2024 model year, but that was when I clicked on that, they'd put in a California postcode, and so again, they might be factoring in some state incentives on that. So I just put a random Minneapolis zip code in of 55416. if that's yours, that's freaky. But I asked ChatGPT for a random one in your town. So just to have a look, and they ping it about 417 over 33 years. That's probably with the, you know, the down payment factored in. So 36 months, yeah. And $417. So, you know, not as competitive as the price we just saw. I mean, twice as much as what they said. But don't rule out leasing, because, again, you get that federal tax equivalent credit on that. And we are in this weird state where the Ioniq 5 is coming with J3400, NACS, Tesla connector, whatever you want to call it, but not the beginning of the 2025 model year. And so if you get that, it might come with CCS for the first 3 months, but then they're going to go NACS. Do you want the next connector? Like, I don't think it matters for the next 5 years till the end of the decade, because if you get one, you're going to have an adapter for the other. If you get one with CCS, you're going to have a NACS adapter. And so you are going to live in adapter hell for 5 years. We know that. If you want to use a mix of Tesla superchargers and other chargers, but also third-party chargers, now that J3400 is a standard, it's not Tesla's thing anymore. We've already seen them putting, you know, dual heads on their chargers, one NACS and one CCS. And so if you might not need an adapter. And so does it matter? I don't think it's not going to affect the resale value, but you might want to lease. So both of those Korean cars, great platform, really fast charging. And more importantly, unless you're going to go big SUV, you're going to go Kia EV9 and have loads of room for the family. The great thing about those two cars is the wheelbase, 3 meter wheelbase. And that means loads of room in the back. So I'm thinking about you with two kiddos, but also, as parents know, the smaller the child, the big of the thing they have to sit in. As your kid grows up, they just get booster seats and the seats get smaller. And when they're a newborn, like, they're just huge. And otherwise, they're just going to be kicking the back of your seat for the next 3 years if you get a smaller car. So, which is fine, but nice big wheelbase, loads of room in the back of those Ioniq and EV6 cars. So I, the same as Dom, would lean towards those. I'm less worried about which model a year, but go have a look. And also, talking of NACS, I've seen it in the comments already. Yes, people have already watched Tom's video of earlier on today plugging in his GM car to a supercharger, because that went live today, if you haven't heard, because we're live and we can talk about it now, because it happened at 8 o'clock this morning. So
Equinox is another possibility. Equinox and Blazers, they can charge it just down the street. They have a supercharger half a mile from their house. Yeah, I also want to mention in Minneapolis, they do have an EV incentive program, or they did have this year, but they ran out of money. I'm not sure exactly what the process is, if you can apply, and I don't know if they're going to put funds back into that program again, but that might be something to look into as well, because you might be able to apply, and then if they put funds back into the program, you might be in line, but maybe it could also be all over. Maybe Greg Kramer is online here, who says he is near Minneapolis, and he has a little tip for us. GS Motors here handles used EVs exclusively, so you can check those out for used. But he might know actually about what's going on with the incentive program over there.
Yeah. Mark says, what about a new Kona? I've not tried the rear legroom in the new Kona, which I think is a good 2 or 3 inches more. The outgoing one, absolutely not. If you got a baby, I wouldn't personally, because we did have a Kona for a while, 4 or 5 years ago, not for long. And it was too small for a baby seat. That's where my 6-year-old was one, so or two. And again, we love them. And then I had my dad's old Kona for a year after he stopped driving. And so, and we love the Kona, but only when your kiddos are grown up a little bit, is it really tight in the back seats.
All right. Let's see. I guess we could probably move on to our next one.
Yeah.
All right. So our next email comes to us from Sandy, and they say, "Hello, Dominic and Martin. Have been a regular listener for the last 3 years or so, and you guys educated me on our purchase of our 2022 Hyundai Ioniq 5. It has been the best car we've owned." So big shout out to the Hyundai Ioniq 5. We also own a 2017 Toyota Prius Prime with 50,000 miles. Our driving with a Prius around town is exclusively electric, and we can charge at home with solar. We live in Delaware and have taken trips to Indiana, 650 miles over PA and West Virginia mountains, and Minnesota, that's 1,250 miles, same mountains, but have been reluctant to take the IONIQ 5 because of concerns about charging. So we've taken the Prius on these trips. We upgrade our cars every 7 to 8 years, and the Prius is getting up there. Is there a good EV option now that we can use to replace the Prius? Or should we wait a few more years until other EV options with longer range appear or the charging infrastructure gets better? Or should we bite the bullet and buy another Prius Prime, a plug-in electric vehicle, or a Lexus RX 450H plug-in hybrid electric vehicle? So they have a few qualifications for the vehicle they're looking for. Number one is no Tesla. Absolutely not interested in giving Elon any money, they say. Number two, because we use the car for long trips, we like the Toyota / Lexus / IONIQ comfortable rides. Prius Prime is okay, not great in terms of road trip comfort and space, but we can live with that level of comfort and space. Number three, longest range possible, especially for winter driving. Number four, price is not an issue, but probably like to stay under $80,000. Yes, wouldn't we all? Number five, the car has to be reliable and well-made. Number six, we don't mind stopping to charge every 3 or 4 hours or so, but with the current infrastructure, the IONIQ 5 winter range doesn't quite do it. Your channels are great, and please keep up the great work, Sandy. All right. Well, okay. Sandy looks like she's interested in some good winter range. What do you think there, Martin? Anything pop come to mind?
Yes. So let's be reminded of what Sandy says. 650-mile road trip, 1,250-mile road trip. Already have an IONIQ 5, so you already have an EV. So when you want to do those short journeys around town, or even those longer journeys of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 400 miles, you can do that EV. And you've been taking the Prius on those journeys, and you keep a car for 7 to 8 years. And so having that brand, established brand, is important, because, you know, you looked at another Prius, you looked at the Lexus RX 450H plug-in hybrid, and you like a decent ride, Toyota Lexus, you know, IONIQ. And then I get the feeling that you want to go EV, longest range possible, under 80K, you get some fabulous, fabulous long range EVs. You get Lucids that are used that will take you forever and back. But I'm not going to suggest that, because you already got an all electric car. I'm going to suggest a plug-in hybrid on this one, because I think for those 1,000-1,500 mile road trips that you might do, you can take the IONIQ 5 if you want to, but I'm going to suggest a plug-in hybrid. I'm going to suggest the 2025 model year Kia Sportage plug-in hybrid. Decent battery size, a decent, you know, 30, 35, 40 miles, depending on how you drive it. Battery alone, you're used to EV driving, so you know how to drive a plug-in hybrid sympathetically. And more importantly, I think you, Sandy, would plug this in. Now, plug-in hybrids are useless if you don't plug them in. And yeah, they're probably, a lot of them have got charge mode, so they'll charge from the combustion engine. Then when you enter a city that might have a certain low emission zone, then you can flick to battery power. Oh, that's clever, right? But unless you are plugging in a plug-in hybrid at home and charging overnight on maybe even a very low rate of electricity, I really, really don't recommend them. And I think you would. You've already got an EV. You know what it's like. You've got a charger. And you've got the, I think I would go for you, a vehicle. You probably at some point are going to change your IONIQ, and maybe you get the latest, greatest EV. But I think that for the other, I'm calling this the other car. That's probably unfair. But for the other car, I wouldn't go another Prius. I wouldn't get, although the Prius Prime is very good, by the way. I'd go something like the Sportage plug-in hybrid.
Okay. So
I don't think I've ever recommended that vehicle before.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to stay in the electric lane. I'll let you handle the plug-in hybrids, but
I'm not a huge fan, but you've got an EV already,
right?
And you do these big road trips,
and they do drive their, you know, when they do drive the Prius around town, they do it on, you know, electric. They don't from their solar even, you know, pretty good way. But I feel like, man, they've had this Prius for this long. I kind of feel like the Prius is like a penalty box on wheels, basically, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't really have a whole lot of love for it. After driving one myself, it was a particularly bad night. I was like hugely exhausted. So I was probably a little cranky when I got into it. Everything annoyed me about this car. And yeah, I did not enjoy it at all. So I want you to have something kind of nice. And you have a big budget there, $80,000. But, you know, you don't want to spend the whole thing, of course. But that's definitely enough to get you in a used Lucid Air. And right, so we'll see, is that on our screen? That's on our screen?
Not yet.
Okay, there we go.
There we go.
Yes. So yeah, use Lucid Air, and you could get them right from, instead of like going to cars.com or a dealer, you can go right to the Lucid website. And you can see the start. It's just over 61,000 basically for Air Pure. That's this first one here is a dual motor, because you probably want a dual motor if you're doing winter driving over mountains up to was it going to Minnesota? But yeah, so big range, 410 miles. So you can go, you could go like Ioniq 6 and get, you know, around 300 or so miles at, you know, highway speed, 70, 75 miles an hour, you're going to get over 300 miles. I think the car you have now is probably good for 250 miles. In the winter, it's probably below that, so 240-ish, you know. So yeah, Ioniq 6 in the winter should get 300. But I mean, if you really want to be sure about getting there with like the least amount of charging possible, I would say this Lucid. Another possibility could be the BMW iX, but those are really kind of expensive.
Yeah, but big, it's a big range on that, big range on the Lucid. Lucid talking recently about how they'll go on to J3400, so opening up all those charging options, whether they'll get access to Tesla's supercharging network, which is different to J3400. Those two things get confused. But hopefully they will, in which case then you could use an adapter and adds 17,000-18,000 extra charge places for you. And, you know, that Lucid is ticking all of your boxes. You want it to be well made. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just so nice. You know,
you want it to be comfortable. Oh my God. Like, you looked at the Japanese cars because they're, yeah, I mean, this is next level. You can't compare this to what you'd be coming out of.
Yeah. So, like $20,000 below their budget. I think insurance is going to be a bear compared to what their Prius is. So that's something else to consider, really. But, you know, this is just such another level of, you know, comfort. And I don't know. I don't know you, but I feel like you deserve, like, you know, a really sweet ride. And yeah, then that will put you like $20,000 below the top of your budget. So that's like a nice cushion there. I just had one other car I think is going to pop up here just as a, you know, just as another option to look at, you know, if you would just wanted to weigh. And that is the 2023 Mercedes-Benz EQS used. Oh, so these are kind of rare, actually. So this is a good example. It's below, it's even below the Lucid Air. $58,990, a 2023 with 11,760 miles on it. And it's 4MATIC, so it's all-wheel drive. These get pretty good range. I think they're up in the high 300s, probably. But there's not very many of these. Like this one was on the site, but the next one available was up in around $80,000 or $90,000. It was a huge jump. So, I mean, you could be on the lookout for a deal like this. But I think, you know, like the Lucid Airs you can find for that price, 60. And if you go on the used market, you'll find some down in the 50s, depending on how many miles are acceptable for you on a used vehicle. Yeah. The more miles, the less probably you'll have to pay. But there's always good deals like for low mileage cars down there too. I think that's all I have for that.
Nice.
All right. So our final email comes to us from Adam. And he says, "Okay, gang, here's a real tricky one for you. My husband and I are currently have a 2021 Ford Mustang Mach-E first edition as our only car and absolutely love it. It's fully paid off, rock solid, and has no issues. But as I tend to do, I'm starting to get that new car itch and want to get something that has a few more creature comforts, but still has the current features I love and don't want to lose. No rush, maybe in the next year or so. So below is my checklist, any new EVs out there or coming out next year that we have that have all of these for under around 80,000, like it was that 80,000 budget again, I will lease, not buy. So crossover / hatchback / SUV preferred for the practicality. Thanks and love the show, Adam. So here's what they're looking for. One pedal drive mode that remembers your setting and is tied to profiles, so engages when the car starts for that user. This is really important for us, and the Mach-E has this. I love one pedal, but my husband hates it. So enabling our respective driver profiles upon startup automatically changes the one pedal mode depending on who's driving, and we don't have to manually change it every time. They want a driver gauge cluster, heated and ventilated seats, heated steering wheel, wireless Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, Sirius XM radio, power memory seats, a 360 camera that comes up alongside the backup camera when engaging reverse, remote start functionality, air suspension would be great, but at a minimum, good ride quality, and physical air vent controls. The trend of burying these in screen settings is an abomination and should be banned. We move the vents around a lot. All right. So Adam knows what he wants, or at least he knows what features he wants.
Absolutely.
So that's a lot of specifics to get into. Interesting though, his budget is 80 grand, but he's leasing. Mm. So I was looking at 80 grand vehicles last night and around that area neighborhood, and they seem to be like, you know, $5,000 to $7,000 down and $599 a month. So especially for future cars that aren't out yet, like that we might recommend, it's really kind of hard to say what lease deals are going to be available, you know? So it's hard to take the budget into account too much, but somewhat. So I was looking at these, and there's a lot of vehicles that are out of the picture. So because they want Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, that means Cadillacs are out.
Yep.
Because I would have went, Lyric is kind of a great fit for this, I think, but no CarPlay, no Android Auto. Physical control of the vents, that's also, and also no Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. So Teslas are out. So the field gets narrowed down a little bit. Porsche doesn't have one pedal driving. So, you know, used, or I guess a Taycan would be out, or the Porsche Macan. So I was thinking BMW iX, really, but it's a bit pricey. Oh, Brennan has an interesting thought I never thought of, actually. Brennan, Acura ZDX Type S. I don't know if that has the... that might work, actually. It does have Apple CarPlay. Oh, and Brennan also reminds us that the Lyric still has CarPlay and Android Auto. It goes away for the model year 2025. Right. So they're not in a hurry to buy this. When I was reading this, I was thinking, okay, what would they buy next year, basically? And it sounds like I feel like they probably want like a new vehicle. Mm-hmm. So I think the big one that really popped out to me that was really, I thought would be the greatest fit at first is the Audi A6 e-tron, Q6 e-tron. The A6 is a sedan, the Q6 is the SUV. And it's coming out next year. It's on the PPE platform, same as a Porsche Macan. And it's got a lot of the stuff that you're looking for. It's got plenty of range, and it's a really fast charger. It's a handsome-looking vehicle. It's got great suspension. The ride will be super. It's got a heads-up display, all that. I'm pretty sure Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, it's in there. I'm pretty sure you can get heated and ventilated seats. That's not an issue. The one-pedal driving, though, that's where I kind of feel like it doesn't have true one-pedal driving. I think it's like the Porsche Macan, where it just gets you down to a couple miles an hour and you have to apply the brakes yourself, which, you know, maybe you get used to after a while, but it's not exactly what you say you're looking for in your letter. So another option I had would be the, a couple more. I thought we'd look at the Genesis line. So Genesis is part of the Hyundai Motor Group. And it's, you know, it's pretty nice affordable luxury, I would say. So this is the electrified GV70. It doesn't have the biggest range. I think it's around 250 miles, but you don't really say what kind of range that you're really looking for in this. But this would be definitely a pretty sweet car. These are, you know, very comfortable. You can see it has ventilated seats. This is a beautiful interior in these. Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, one-pedal driving. And I'm pretty sure you can tie the profile, the profiles into that as well. It does have physical air vents, I believe. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, I was looking at that. So that's one Genesis, but then there's also the other one. If you needed more range, and let's cancel that one, and then over to here. And I don't have it up on the screen. I don't have a link for this one. But the 2025 Genesis electrified GV60.
It's got 280 mile
range.
Okay. Yeah. And but not the G80, the big swoopy.
Right. So this would be the. This will be the 800 volt, like the eGMP platform car.
Oh, yeah,
so the
yeah, it's
sister
a great car.
To the sister to the Ioniq 5 and the Kia EV6, but just with just nicer packaging on the inside. It's a bit more sporty, I think. So the GV70 is very much like a proper looking, like luxury kind of, you know, has very luxury kind of feel. And I feel like the GV60 isn't quite that. I mean, from the exterior, it's more of a. I feel like the exterior is like more of a sporty kind of feel. I can pop up a picture of it real quick here. Basically, it looks like this. This is top gear review picture. But the inside is, you know, if we just go interior, you can see the interior is, you know, pretty nice. And these, you know, ventilated seats, you can see this one has. It's got the little magic globe, the crystal ball in the middle as well that flips over when you go in. You want to put it in drive or whatever. It's got this little round crystal ball that kind of flips up. It's kind of neat, little nice little party trick. And so also with the GV electrified. GV60, not electrified, just GV60. They've got Face Connect, so for two people you can program it, so you can walk up to the car and it uses a near infrared camera to scan driver's face and recognize them, and then it adjusts all your preferences as you like walk up to the car, basically. And it can be used to lock and unlock the doors without a key, and it adjusts the driver's seat and the steering wheel and the infotainment settings. I'm not positive that it adjusts the one pedal.
So but they call it, I think they call it iPedal at Genesis.
iPedal, right.
They call it iPedal. And I think they chalk this one down to a safety feature. It resets every time you get in the car.
Oh.
I think you can get it to stick on the quarters. So 25, 50 or 75% regen. I think it'll stick to that. But it will not, as far as I know, stick at 0% regen, freewheel, or 100% regen, effectively one pedal driving, even with driver pro. I don't think that the driver profiles remember one pedal driving on those cars. Correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. Send us an email and we'll correct it next week. So I don't think that bit of Adam's wish list. But I don't think I can't find the perfect car. So carry on.
Well, I don't know. What about you? So before we started the show, actually, we were talking about this case a little bit, and you mentioned Polestar.
Yeah. As I was reading it, I'm like, yeah, my car does all of those things. And so one pedal drive that remembers your setting. Yes.
Right.
So you have a phone key with Polestar. So I got Polestar 2. So phone key, which is great. Actually, it works really well. And also a physical key. And depending on who unlocks the car or walks up to it, it will obviously move the seats to your setting, it moves the mirrors to your settings. It changes all of your, because it sits on Google, it's on Android. And so my one pedal drive preferences are wildly different to my wife. She doesn't like the car to hold. When you come to a stop, she likes to be analogous to an automatic car. So she has her foot on the brake. I like it to hold. So I can let my foot off and then I'm not doing a thing. She doesn't like regen. She likes to freewheel and use the brake. And then the brake will do the regen. But we are opposites in terms of how we do. So Polestar 2, I was like, yes, it does that. Obviously, there's the two of you, Adam and your husband, totally different, same as my wife. That would do it. A driver gauge cluster. Yeah, Polestar 2 has a brilliant driver gauge cluster. It brings the mapping into it. When you use Apple CarPlay, that's really nice now that it's been upgraded. It really does use the most of both screens. Heated steering wheel, yes. Sirius XM, don't know. I presume so. I'm not in the US. Power, memory seats, yes. 360 camera, yes. Air suspension would be great. Not going to get it with Polestar 2.
Not going to get it. The Polestar 3.
No, Polestar 2, Dom, talking, Dom. Polestar 2. So my car, if I could change anything, I'd have it softer. Now, I didn't get the Polestar 2 performance with the Öhlins dampers, because if I did, I'd just dial them right out, and I just want to float down the road. So if I could do anything, I would have my car ride softer. Physical air vent controls. Yes, Polestar 2 has got them. And what was the other thing? Ventilated seats? No, yes. It doesn't cool your seats as far as I can. No, it's heated seats in the Polestar 2. So, as Dom says, but what about Polestar 3 and Polestar 4? Or I should go the other way, because it's not numerical. It's Polestar 2, Polestar 3, sorry, Polestar 4, Polestar 3, if you go up the line. So the next one is the 3. Sorry, the 4. And the big one's the 3. So confusing. Polestar, why didn't you do the numbers? Anyway, so as you go up through the range, it goes 2, 4, 3 as you get more expensive. Right. Anyway, yeah. So the 4 is almost a replacement for the Polestar 2, and it's got those things. But because they did a non-physically interior, you have to use the screen to change where the air blows, which I agree with you, Adam, would drive me bonkers within 5 minutes. So you think, okay, well, look, you got a big budget, my friend. You could go Polestar 3. You could go long-range dual motor. You could get the 400 miles of range from the big 111 kilowatt-hour, that's 107 usable, battery, 250 kilowatt DC fast charging, well under half an hour to get to 80%. Active air suspension on the dual motor version. So Polestar 3, which is their best. And it comes in at under $80,000. I mean, it's niddle smidgy-widgy underneath, but you could get it. It's got the Brembo brakes and torque vectoring on the rear axle. And it's got all the active ride, like 500 times a second. It'll make it smooth if you need to. And even in the SPA2 platform, which the Polestar 3 is built on, I think you have to go into the screen to change where the air goes, which drives me mad. Oh my gosh. Brennan says Polestar 2 does have ventilated seats on a leather package, which I obviously don't have. I have one of the early Polestars that had everything on it, but either way, I even got the tow bar, which I don't need, but which is great. Polestar 4, that's the one. Cheaper, no rear window. I don't think I can find a car that does everything, Adam, that you want. What's the deal breaker? I think it's the things that are going to annoy you. Like getting in the car and regen not being set the way you want it. And I think the physical air vent controls, I think it's those little things that over time build up when you drive a car. I love the Polestar 2. I don't really need the ventilated seats. And otherwise it's got, you know, everything that you say. Remote start functionality? You mean you can drive the car with the app? What does he mean by remote start?
Being able to like heat it or precondition from the app, or do interact with the car somewhat, you know, via the app. That's kind of how I took that.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I think too many people are looking at.
Yeah, Polestar 2 gets you close, but it's not. I mean, it is. It's a nice car. I like mine, but it's not an 80 grand car. Genesis GV60 gets you close, but it's going to reset iPedal every time you get in it. I can't find the perfect car for you. I mean, Tesla gets you close, but it's got no driver gauge.
The Model S would. If they went for a Model S, that has the driver gauge in front of them. But it doesn't have CarPlay and Android Auto.
So we can't find it. Adam, you beat us. You're going to have to compromise on something.
I think they'd be pretty happy with the Polestar 3. Or they could. The other option is just go back to Mustang Mach-E and get the 24 or 25 model year. It's got the newer motor in the back. It's more efficient. It's got more range. It probably has more features. I think and they could step up to the performance version and get a nicer suspension package too. So the ride would be, I'm not sure if it's air, but it's definitely a lot better than the regular Mach-E suspension. So I would just maybe go and check out one of those because there's some great color combinations now too that didn't have before. The green with the bronze grille and the bronze wheels. That looks so good. So I would maybe just start this whole journey by going to the Ford dealer and go just driving, taking this great opportunity, shopping opportunity to, try out a few cars. Try out the new Mustang Mach-E and see if you like what's changed in it. It'll look the same as yours, but, you could get another color combo, so it'll be very different. And, I think you'll find it's improved nicely. But then go from there over to, Genesis dealer and compare that Mach-E experience to the GV60 or GV70. I don't know where you are. Do we know where they live? I'm not sure. There's not that many Polestars around the country, Polestar stores. I'm not sure. We don't really know where they are. I know I'm not seeing it. Okay. So it's a little bit harder to go for a test drive if there's no store in your area. But if you are near a Polestar store, definitely the 3, which is kind of the top Polestar spec right now, would be kind of the one I think you'd be pretty happy with, even if it doesn't have the physical. Oh, they use the vent controls a lot, they say. Do you think the 3 has it on the screen as well?
Are we forgetting anything obvious, like a Volvo EX90? Can you get one of those base spec for less than 80 grand when it finally launches?
They start at 80. So, but he's going to lease. So it just kind of depends whether or not, if Volvo has a hard time selling the EX. Oh, you say EX30. I was thinking EX90 for some reason.
Yeah, no, but I said maybe, EX90. I said EX90. Oh, okay. The big one.
EX90.
EX90. Yeah, one pedal. Yes. Profiles. Yes. That'll change it. CarPlay, Android Auto, driver gauge, heated, ventilated, heated steering wheel, memory seats, 360 camera, air suspension. Might not be on the base model of the EX90, but it's got physical air vents. Unlike the Polestar, you haven't got to go into the silly screen to do things that you should be able to reach out and go, I'll have it my way a bit. Have a look at the EX90. We might have done it, Dom. We might have done it.
Maybe, yeah. And it's at the top of the budget, I feel like. 80 grand-ish starts at that. And that might be for the rear-wheel drive that's not even out yet. Yeah. But, if they have some... So the EX90 is coming into a very tight market. A lot of competitors in the 3-row, especially with the Gravity coming out. And so Volvo might be in a bind where they really need to move some units. So they could, slap out some good lease deals out there. So that would be something I would keep my eye on, at least.
I don't know what the XC90 reach. No, you want a pure EV. No, ignore me.
All right. I don't know. I think we should probably leave that there. Oh, Brennan's back in here with the Acura ZDX Type S in Tiger Eye Pearl. Is a cool color as well. All right. Okay. So I guess that could be another option, right? Look at the Acura ZDX. I'm not super up on. I believe it has all those things. I'm pretty sure you get ventilated seats, heated steering wheel. Has one pedal drive, and I believe it has the Android Auto and CarPlay, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know. Out of Spec Reviews channel has reviews of all these cars, the Polestar 3 and the Acura ZDX. So you can go there and check those out. Check out some reviews, and see what you think.
Everyone go watch Tom's video right now after this, if you're watching it live, of him plugging in his Equinox to a Tesla supercharger. Went live today. Mentioned it already. Yeah. Go watch that next. Yeah, it's a really good video because Tom sent it to us before it went live. And he explains it so well, as Tom is brilliant at doing. And it's different to how Ford and Rivian have implemented it. I won't give away. But GM have done something different.
Okay. I need to finish watching the video.
Which you might think is worse. Oh. But have a watch of the video.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of this show. If you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, drop us a line at batterybargains@batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. If you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications, and thank you all very much for joining us. It's great to see you. We'll see you again very soon. Ciao.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.